Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashtotara Shatashri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashtotara Shatashri Srimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Dai Gora Premanande Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Narancha Narancha Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayet Nasupraya Shurabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah Hare Krishna. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, Text number 16. And the chapter is entitled Further Inquiries by Vidura. Sadva etat vayarhitam vidvan nanatman mayayanam hare apatye Apartam Nirmulam Vishvamulam Na Yad Bhai Sadvat Eta Vahrit. What is it, Richard? Okay. So what meter is it? Okay. What is the meter though? Sad. Okay. Sad eight. Okay. Sad vretat vahritam vidvan. Nanatmam mayanam hrare. Abhadya apartam nirmulam. Vishvamulam nayat bahi. Svevatat savetat vahritam vidvan. Nanatma mayaya manam hare. Abhadya apartam nirmulam. Vishvamulam nayat bahi. Sarva etat vayartham vidvan. Naratmam mayanam hare. Abhadya partham nirmulam. Vishvamulam nayat bahi. Matajis. Nirmulam Anyone else? Sadhu, as good as it should be. Etat, all these explanations. Vayarthatam, thus spoken. Vidvan, O learned one. Na, not. Atma, the self. Maya, energy. Ayanam, movement. Hare, of the personality of Godhead. Abhati, appears. Apartam, without meaning. Nirmulam, without basis. Vishvamulam, the origin is the supreme. Na, not. Yat, which. Bai, outside. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O learned sage, your explanations are very good, as they should be. Disturbances to the conditioned soul have no other basis than the movement of the external energy of the Lord. Purport. A living entity's unlawful desire to become one with the Lord in every respect is the root cause of the entire material manifestation. For otherwise, the Lord has no need to create such a manifestation, even for His pastimes. The conditioned soul, under the spell of the external energy of the Lord, falsely suffers many unfortunate incidences in material life. The Lord is the predominator of the external energy, Maya, whereas the living entity is the predominated by the same Maya, under the material condition. The false attempt of the living entity to occupy the predominating post of the Lord is the cause of his material bondage, and the conditioned soul's attempt to become one with him is the last snare of Maya. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakoya Chakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svam Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschacha Deshatarine Vansha Kalpatarumbhischa Kripa Sindhur Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukun Koriti Vachalam, Pangalangai Tegrim, Takripat, Raham Vande, Shigurum Dinatarimam. Agisha Yashavarane, Lakshmi Yashachavakshashi, Yashishte, Hridaye Samvit, Tamnashim Hamahambhaje. When I read this purport last night, I was thinking of a verse which comes in the Prema Vaivarta of Jagadananda Pandit. Srila Prabhupada would quote this verse very often, and often in a very animated way. So the verse is, Krishna bahir moka bhoga vanchakare nikatana stana maya tare japadiya tare. So what this verse is saying is that the living entity, Krishna bahir moka bhoga vanchakare, that the living entity turns his face away from Krishna and looks towards the external energy. He looks towards the external energy in a mood of bhoga vanchakare, desires to enjoy that external energy. And then what happens, as soon as the living entity turns his face from Krishna, nikastana maya tare, japatiya tare. Srila Prabhupada would say this in a very animated way, that maya is there to catch the living entity. So how does the living entity become caught? Dayato vishayam pumsam, kama tesu pajayate, sangat sanjayate kaman, kamat krodha vijayate. That the living entity contemplates the objects of the senses for the purpose of enjoyment. And this contemplation of the objects of the senses creates an intense burning sensation that the living entity has to enjoy the objects of the senses. And what this does is it drags one into a bodily conception of life. They develop a deha buddhi. They develop an awareness that I am this material body. They develop an abhiman that I am the purusha, that I am the enjoyer of this material body. And this material body is simply meant for my enjoyment. And Krishna explains in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that in this conception of enjoying separately from Krishna, one is entangled in what Krishna says is asha pashastatarbandha pada. It's Srila Prabhupada translates this particular Sanskrit as an endless network of hopes. So the living entity is entangled in this endless network of hopes for enjoying separately from Krishna. And they become so bewildered by this that they become completely forgetful that they have anything to do with Krishna or that Krishna even exists. In the most degraded form of this conception of life, Srila Prabhupada, as he's saying here, one develops this asura bhavam ashata, this asuric disposition that Krishna doesn't even exist. And if God does exist, I must be him. This is the conception of a material mentality. And sometimes when we think of like Mayavad philosophy, or we think of impersonalism, because we're so trained in Srila Prabhupada's book, sometimes we think of it as like a caricature, as like something that's like far away from us, and we've given this up a long time ago. And anyone who believes in this, they're just stupid. They're retarded. But Radhika Raman Prabhu, I was listening to a class that he was giving, and he was making the point that we actually don't realize how pervasive Mayavad is in our life. Because the whole idea of this Purusha Abhiman is actually Mayavad philosophy. It's the idea that I am the supreme. And so, on this platform of thinking that I am the supreme, you're functioning in this disposition according to the material body. So what happens on that bodily conception of life? Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhongte Prakritir Jangunan Kananam Gunasango Syat Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. According to the objects of the senses that one meditates on, one develops a sangha with those different objects of the senses. And through that association with those objects of the senses, one becomes bewildered in different ways. Icha dvesa samutena davant mohena bharata. Sarva bhutani samoham sagrayanti parantapa. What this verse is saying is that one develops an inclination for a certain set of sense objects according to how they've associated with the world, and one develops an aversion to certain sense objects according to how they've associated with the world. So an example of this is like if I give someone a gulab jamun. Having one gulab jamun on Balaram Purnima is a very nice thing to do. But if I give you 20 gulab jamuns and I tell you have to eat it all right there, then what happens is one becomes completely adverse to that sense enjoyment. So this is the nature of our senses interacting with the sense objects. Our mind's enjoyment of those sense objects is in a constant state of accepting and rejecting, sankalpa vikalpa. So it's bhoga tyaga, bhoga tyaga, bhoga tyaga. We're accepting one thing to be a source of our enjoyment, but in due course of time, that very same thing that we accepted as being a source of our enjoyment becomes a source of our misery, and we want to give it up. So this is the bewilderment of the living entity. So existing in this conception of life is a completely miserable state of existence. And this is why the mind is so difficult to control. This is why the whole process of yoga is meant to control the mind, because the living entity, passing through so many different bodies since time immemorial, is completely influenced by this icha dvesha. They're inclined to certain objects from a previous life, and they're adverse to certain objects because of previous life. So for instance, like our mode of conditioning is if I give someone like a bowl of cat food, they're not going to be interested in it. But if I give it to a cat, the cat is going to be very much interested in it. Because their way that they've been conditioned, the way that they accept and reject, is of a different mode of nature. So we're constantly transitioning through these things that we're accepting and we're rejecting, and it's completely miserable. And in the process of doing all this, we don't see, we're not able to see the hand of Krishna in our life because of this Ishvaraham Aham Bhogi, this disposition of thinking that I'm the enjoyer. We're not able to see Krishna's loving hand working in our life. But if one becomes fortunate, then one can gradually come to develop a devotional conception. Actually, Jiva Goswami explains that this material world, it's designed for the sadhaka to realize the sadhya. It's the only purpose for the material world to exist. It's there to facilitate the enjoyment of the living entities. It's there to facilitate the liberation of the living entities. But Jiva Goswami says in its ultimate truth, in its ultimate conception, it's meant to facilitate the sadhaka's attainment of their sadhya. So what does that mean for us as conditioned souls wandering in the material world? It means that the environment is favorable for us to become Krishna conscious. The only thing that's unfavorable for us becoming Krishna conscious is our disposition of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. So how does this transformation take place? How does this transformation take place from transitioning from this bhoga vritti to a seva vritti? That means one's disposition goes from seeing everything as something for my exploitation, for my enjoyment, and transitioning to seeing that everything is facilitating my developing love for Krishna. Everything acts as a stimulus for my love of Krishna. So it begins with meeting devotees. There's no other way for someone to come to a higher standard of life except unless they receive the mercy of a Vaishnava. One has to receive a book. One has to get prasadam. One has to see devotees chanting in the street. And one has to have a lot of contact with this over time. This is known as bhakti unmukhi sukriti. And this bhakti unmukhi sukriti, what it does is it creates a fertile field within the heart. You know, for instance, like farmers, they'll go out into fields and they'll throw a ton of seeds. But if you throw seeds on barren land, it's completely useless. Nothing will fructify. So this bhakti unmukhi sukriti, it creates a fertile soil within our heart by which we can actually begin to cultivate the seed of devotional service. So this is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Brahmananda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. That one receives the seed of devotional service. And what is the seed of devotional service? The seed of devotional service is one acquires the practices and the methods which help cultivate love of Krishna. One receives a sadhana. Kritta sadhya bhavat sadhya bhavasa sadhanadibhitaha. Nitya sirasa bhavasya prakritam hridya sadhyata. That Rupa Goswami explains that sadhana are those activities which bring about love for Krishna. So one comes in contact with the guru and one meets the external representation of the super soul in the form of the Diksha Guru and the Shiksha Gurus. But Krishna encourages us that if one is actually hearing from the spiritual master properly, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, if one is engaging in this Punya Shravana Kirtana, then there should be a transformation that takes place. And what is this transformation? Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Yomam Pasiti Sarvatra Sarvam Cha Mai Pasiti Tasyaham Cha Tasyaham na pranasyanti, sacha me na pranasyati. That when one comes to the highest position of spiritual realization, they go beyond seeing anything in relationship for their material enjoyment. But actually, everything acts as a stimulus for their developing love for Krishna. So one hears from the guru, and one says, I only have one guru. I only have my Diksha Guru. But as one makes advancement, they begin to collect Shiksha Gurus. And then as one makes more advancement, they begin to see that the people on the streets is also a kind of guru. And then one begins to see that actually the trees are my gurus, the water is my guru, the ocean is my guru. Everything in existence is facilitating my realization of Krishna. And this is what the environment of Vrindavan is. The environment of Vrindavan is that everything is acting as a positive stimulus to our remembrance of Krishna. There's no sense that I'm superior to anyone, and I see that everyone is superior to me because they're serving Krishna way better than I could possibly ever. So they are my worshipful objects. So this is why you see in the prayers of our previous acharyas, such as Raghunath Das Goswami, he's worshipping the cows of Vrindavan. He's worshipping the peacocks of Vrindavan. He's worshipping the dust of the residents of Vrindavan. He's worshipping the bumblebees that are floating around Krishna when he's playing his flute. Raghunath Das Goswami is worshipping all these residents of Vrindavan because he considers that only by their mercy, only by their speaking good wishes onto me, am I actually able to cultivate a genuine disposition of Vrindavan consciousness. And really, this is what the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to do. It's meant to create the land of Vrindavan within everyone's heart. That everywhere we go, we see that Krishna's hands is moving my life, and everything is acting as a stimulus for my remembrance of Krishna. And the more we are fixated in this consciousness, there'll be no question of us ever having to fall down. Because one will have gained the genuine quality of Trinada Pisa Nuchena, Tarora Pisa Hishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. This verse is saying that Amanina Manadena. So one learns to give respect to all and expects no respect for oneself. But really the only way that we can offer respect to all is if we are not expecting any respect for ourselves. Because there's nothing to respect. The devotee feels there's nothing to respect within me. There's not one ounce of good qualities in me. We see in the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's praying that if my dear Gurudev, if you examine my heart, you'll find nothing of value. You'll find nothing that's actually worth worshiping and worth commendable. So your mercy is everything in my life. And if you don't give me, he actually uses the word sar, which is the essence. Your mercy is the essence of my life. And if you don't give me your mercy, then I'll simply cry and cry and cry because I'm completely hopeless. So this is the disposition of someone who's developed genuine Krishna consciousness, that they don't feel there's anything to respect in me. But in all the other Vaishnavas, in all the other living entities, there's something very worshipable. And that's their service attitude to Krishna. So in order for us to cultivate this disposition of genuine humility, which Sanatana Goswami explains is synonymous with the development of prema. Dhanya means intense humility, overwhelming humility. In order to cultivate this humility, one needs to get the association of genuine sadhus. Because in the association of sadhus, one won't feel themselves to be superior. Anyone that had time to travel with Srila Prabhupada, or anyone that's traveled with their spiritual master or associated with very advanced Vaishnavas, the feeling that you get being with them is that you feel very humble. You see their attitude of service, you see their determination of sadhana, and you see where we are. Kvajano yamativa pamana, kvadurapramati bhagpirapyata. Rupa Goswami prays that, where am I, and where are these great souls? And where is this most precious treasure of prema? Although I'm completely unqualified for it, I'm still developing an intense hankering. So this intense hankering is really the essence of our Krishna consciousness movement. And this is how we'll know if we're actually making advancement. Krishna bhakti bhavatamati kriyatam yati katopi labhyate tatarloyam akimulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritaur nilambhyate. If we've actually engaged in sadhu sangha properly, sadhu sangha sarva shastri koi, lava mantra sarva sangha sarva siddhi hoi, then even a moment's association will be so receptive in just that one moment. Our heart is so open. We're so greedy to love Krishna. We're so greedy to learn on how we can develop a deeper impetus for loving Krishna. We're so eager to see how everything is operating for the purpose of helping me develop love of God. We'll be so greedy for this that just a moment's association with a sadhu will be enough to give us all perfection. And we see this in our Krishna consciousness movement. There's a wonderful letter that was written to Shivaram Maharaj in 1994. He received a letter from just a simple Hungarian girl. And every time I've ever read this letter, and any time I've read this letter in a group of people, I've noted that not only do I start crying, but everyone else in the room starts crying. It's so powerful. And what it's the story of is that it's a girl named Dora. I think her name was Dora. And she was at a festival, in Hungary. They have this huge festival at Krishna Valley every year where people from all over the country come. It's like one of the biggest attractions in Hungary. And whether rain or shine, everyone comes. So she, you know, became so swept away in the kirtan and the prasadam and the festival. She bought a book. So he went back home, and Hungary is like a very orthodox Christian country. So she got the book, and when she received the book, she wasn't sure if she was going to read it, so she just put it on a bookshelf. And later on, her mother found it. And when her mother found it, she started chastising her, like, what are you doing reading this? You know this is against our religion. What do you think you're doing? And then her grandmother came and she took the book and she also started chastising her. Her grandmother, however, went back to her space and started reading the book. And then her grandmother became like a militant. She got the entire family to start chanting 16 rounds. She started reading the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. She started reading all Srila Prabhupada's books, and she told her mother that Jesus' mission was bona fide, but in its current understanding, it's actually failed to uphold his teachings. But Prabhupada is upholding those teachings. Prabhupada is like the next Jesus, is what she's saying. And then she's reading Srila Prabhupada's book, she's chanting Hare Krishna, and Dora says in her picture that she, in the letter to Shiva Ram Maharaj, that this granny, she's chanting Hare Krishna and she's crying in front of a picture of Srila Prabhupada, speaking with Srila Prabhupada. And then she says, do you remember my grandma when we visited? She came up and she kissed your hand, Maharaj. And she said that I want to go to Budapest in order to see God at least one time in my life. So that eagerness, we can understand the mercy that Srila Prabhupada is giving. That Srila Prabhupada is such a magnanimous, elevated, sainipani bhakta of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That simply by a moment's association with him, if someone has an iota of sincerity, then that mercy can enter in their heart and completely transform them. Anyone that's distributed books for some time, they have experiences like this. I experienced distributing books in East Los Angeles. I was going to shop to shop about 4 years ago with Bhakta Devan, actually. And we were going shop to shop and we entered in this like furniture store. And when we entered into the furniture store, this man was there, and as soon as we walked in, he paid obeisances to us. And we were like completely shocked. And so we go up to him and he said, and I show him the Bhagavad Gita, and he takes the Bhagavad Gita and there's a picture of Prabhupada in the back, and he takes it. He sees, you see this man, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada? This is my friend. He is my friend. And he says, this man, he comes to me every single night. And he says, don't forget the living force, Mario. Don't forget the living force. It's like, what is the extent of Srila Prabhupada's mercy? So, in our own Krishna consciousness, it's not that sadhus aren't available. The whole material manifestation is there to facilitate the sadhaka's attainment of his sadhya. So, sadhus are available. Gurus are available. The holy name is available. Everything is available. But Raghunath Das Goswami explains in Manashiksha that the only thing that's preventing us from taking full advantage of this is this dhamma, this pride. So Raghunath Das Goswami says at the very beginning of Manashiksha, dhamma hitva, kick out this pride. Kick out this pride that is preventing you from appreciating the mercy of the Vaishnavas, that is preventing you from appreciating the Guru, that is preventing you from appreciating the land of Vrindavan and the Vrajvasis. Kick out this pride and develop intense, unprecedented attachment for these things. This is the instruction of the mind. So this may take some time and this may take some practice, but this is really the only clear. In all the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives lots of instructions which facilitate Arjuna in different ways. He gives him different options. Like in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, always think of me. If you can't do that, follow a regative process. And if you can't do that, then just work for me. He gives him various ways in which he can become Krishna conscious. But when it comes to controlling the mind, Krishna is very adamant. And there's one instruction that he gives. Asamsayam. What's that? No. I memorized it last night, but let's see. Sixth chapter. Samsayam Mahabaho Manu Durnig Durgin Jahamchalam Abhasyena Tukanteya Vairagena Chagriyate. That the only way to control the mind is through Abhasyena and Vairagena, through practice and detachment. And Srila Prabhupada in his purport explains that detachment is the essence of all Rupa Goswami's advice. Tam nama rupa charitasa sukirtananu smridyor karmena rasanam anasi niyoja tastevrajaya tananuragi jananu gami kalam yatet akilam ityupadesha smaram. That one should engage their time 24 hours a day in hearing the name, form, and pastimes of Krishna. And when one does this and is in constant contact with it, then one becomes detached from the accepting and rejecting of the mind, and one is fixed in Buddha Yoga. So we have to come to this conception. We have to come to this conception of seeing that everything in this world is favorable for my advancement in Krishna consciousness, and nothing is unfavorable. Krishna is trying to help me, and Krishna is guiding my life, and Krishna is helping me become a pure devotee. I just need to make myself receptive to it. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments or reflections or corrections? Yeah, a dream. Yeah, a dream.
So, few times you mentioned how we should try to associate with devotee sadhus properly. Can you say a little bit more about that? You
know, what does it mean to associate with sadhus?
Yeah, just elaborate a little bit in a different way.
Yeah. Well, Kapila Dev says how to associate with sadhus. Satam prasangam mama virya sambado bhavanti karna rasayana kata tak josat asu pavarga vartmani shada ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. That coming in the association of those who are satam, one should hear rasayana kata. Means that one should hear Krishna kata. And that Krishna kata should be heard with an open heart. And by doing that, all the apavargas are removed. And one's gradual cultivation of bhakti is developed. Shara ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. So to associate with sadhus means to hear from them. Shushu sho shadananasya vasudeva katarachi shanmahat sevana vipra punya tirthani sevana. We have so many services that we can render to the spiritual master on the level of vapu. We can, you know, wash his feet, fold his clothes, drive his car, buy him, do so many nice things for him. But really, the primary service of a disciple is to hear Krishna Katha from the spiritual master. Because that is what solidifies the relationship into the realm of eternality. Rather than it just existing on the platform of the mind, like I was saying, this Ichadvesha. The thing is that the conditioned soul's conditioning is so deeply rooted that this conditioning can come out in relationship to the spiritual master, in which one even accepts and rejects their spiritual master within the mind. So that comes when one's faith is pliable. When one sees the spiritual master only connecting with him in the relationship to his vapu. He smiles at me. He encourages me. He says so many nice things to me. You know, he has all these wonderful qualities, and we're very attached to that. But mature disciples cultivate a relationship on the platform of vani. And they imbibe those instructions, and they repeat those instructions, and they guide other God brothers and God sisters in the community of Vaishnavas in those instructions. And so the relationship with the spiritual master goes a lot deeper. So to associate with Vaishnavas means to hear from them. And it means to, as Srila Prabhupada used to say, to hear means to practice. Tat shranadana mudayo jnana vairagya yuktaya. That devotional service has to be practiced according to what we have heard from the previous acharyas. So if we're practicing devotional service, not on the mental platform, not on what's appealing to my senses or what's adverse to my sense enjoyment, but practicing according to what I've heard from Guru Shastra and Sadhu, then we're actually associating with the Guru Parampara, we're actually associating with the spiritual master, we're associating with the sadhus properly.
You have a question, Bhakti Emil, and then Sachi Dinoy.
You were mentioning the prayers of Raghunadas Goswami, which is very elevated.
Mm.
And also that reminds me of the prayers of the vision of the Avadhut, who had he was pointing out his 24 gurus,
yeah,
learning from every living entity. So for us, they were just beginning. It may appear difficult to have that understanding. And I would say that some of us, when we joined at the beginning, and we were lucky, we came a little bit after Prabhupada, like in my case.
Mm.
So automatically you're put in a situation in which everybody is your superior.
Yeah.
And any bhakta who joins now is like, obviously, you know, that's the vision. Everybody's senior. But according to what you read, my question is, what will be your understanding from whatever you have read about those who are the peers or the seniors,
mm,
and the guru is not anymore present?
Mm.
What would you...
Well, it's important to keep in mind that there's the Samasti Guru, which is Baladev and Lord Nityananda, and there's the Vyasti Guru. So the thing is that the spiritual master can make himself present through many different Vaishnavas. And the Diksha relationship is a very important one, because it's that person that I take primary instruction from, and it's that person whose instructions are like the primary focus and direction of my life, that is acting as an impetus for me moving closer to Krishna. But simultaneously, there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 9th chapter, where it says that one cannot come to complete knowledge simply by having one guru. So Krishna provides many different mediums of instruction. And to collect Shiksha gurus is a very important responsibility of a devotee, to have Shiksha gurus, to have people we're taking guidance from. Because by taking guidance from the Shiksha gurus, it helps fluff out the instructions that we have received from Diksha Guru. And simultaneously, we see in like relationships between God brothers who have like a very humble disposition, they see each other acting in spirit as spiritual masters. Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Giriraj Swami told us this when I went and visited him. He was saying that he was speaking with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was talking about the importance of having Shiksha Gurus in one's life, because Giriraj Swami at that time, it was the 80s, there was a lot of things going on, so it required that the senior devotees kind of stick in their place and give association to those that were underneath them. And Giriraj Swami was finding it difficult to have peer association during that time. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying that you have to seek it out. You really have to make it a priority. And then he was saying that, and it's important that we have Shiksha Gurus. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj told him, and I consider you to be like a Shiksha Guru. So in humble, genuine Vaishnava relationships, although we may be peers, we're constantly learning from each other and we're inspired. I have so many friends in my life that on, you know, an external consideration, according to like social norms, we're peers. But I consider them to be like my superiors, because I see that they're more advanced than me in Krishna consciousness. They have more maturity. They've assimilated the teachings of my spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada a lot more deeply than I have. So I consider them superiors. But our relationship is like one of equals. But in my heart, I feel that they're superiors. So we should have those relationships as much as possible. And this really is, this is a healthy thing to have, to see that even those who are above, below, and right with me, they're superior than me. Even like the newest bhakta in the temple, there's so much to be learned from them, because they have pure faith. You know, they've assimilated this Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Goe Sudrit Nishchaya Karma Bhakti. I forget the rest of this. Anyways, they've developed this faith that simply by engaging in devotional service, that everything will become perfected. Maybe it hasn't matured completely, but that initial faith is there, and it's very glorious. If someone's been in the movement, you know, for like an extended period of time, but like they have like a mixed conception of devotional service, they can learn from that new bhakta who's coming in, because their faith is just so pure and so genuine. Maybe it hasn't fully matured, maybe it hasn't fully developed, but it's worshipable just to see them, to catch that spirit of faith, and really to preserve that faith of ananyas chintayantam amyejana paryupasate, that Krishna will provide and Krishna will preserve what I have. To preserve that faith is really the duty of a devotee in order to make substantial progress in the path of pure devotional service, because one can't engage in pure devotional service without having pure faith. So there's something to learn from everyone, and we just have to make ourselves receptive to it. If we have that greed, if we have that lolium, then there'll be no question of us not being able to learn, but we have to cultivate that.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Oh, Archita Prabhu.
All right, well, thank you for a wonderful class. I just didn't want to leave you hanging on that verse because it's important. Shraddha sabde vishwas koi. Suridhanas joy. Krishna bhakti koila sarva siddhi hoy. You have to have that faith that if you just engage in Krishna bhakti, that's what Prabhupada was saying, just sacrifice this one life. So many other lifetimes you've done so many nonsense things. In this one life, just sacrifice it to engaging in Krishna bhakti and sarva siddhi hoy. You'll get all perfection.
Thank you, Archita Prabhu. Oh, Karanga Prema. I'll speak with you after class, Prabhu. Oh, okay, one short comment.
Wonderful class. You know, you remind me of a saying in China that san ren xin bi you yi wo si. That means you are walking with two other friends. You know, and among those two other friends, there must be one who can teach you something. There must be one who is your teacher.
I just want to share. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.